In Jesus' mighty name, we ask that you open unto us the vista of understanding, that we might capture your will in the context of all wisdom and the accompaniment of every relevant spiritual understanding, that will grant us the opportunity to understand the import of your emphasis. Lord, open the heart of everyone here present, and let us go on a journey under the leadership of your Spirit into the very emphasis of your heart, that every one of us will share kingdom responsibility for the territories that they are domiciled, and that your Spirit through them, by mighty workings, will begin to redeem even that portion that has been conceded to the enemy. We ask, O God, that the dominion mandate again will begin to find expression in your vessels here present, and even concerning them that we hear the things that we share today, let your Spirit rest. And we will not stop until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, yesterday we were able to identify the fact that Jesus, in the days of his flesh, did not have a pulpit, a kind of ministry that he was part of was territorial in nature. Most of what we capture as the ministry of Jesus were performed under natural life circumstances and at public places. Hallelujah. Can come to the market and he creates a scene, and in that scene the kingdom of darkness is put to shame and the excellency of the kingdom of light is made available, and then people begin to capture the idea that there is a kingdom that is superior to the kingdom of darkness, and it begins to build. And then when they desire to know more about the kingdom, he switches from the evangelical, he becomes a teacher, then he begins to give parables. Jesus is such a personality. Hallelujah. Then at some point he begins to select people. Then he brings them closer. Hallelujah. And you begin to see him operate in different capacities. And just in case you need your doubts to be cleared, he now tells you that you are a pure Jew. That I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Hallelujah. All he's trying to do is to conquer your heart. And if it conquers your heart, it means it is up for regulation by the government of God. And that's where it all begins. When men are in alignment with God and he has a place in their heart and he can establish his government and regulate their lives from the third heavens, they become foot soldiers, functionaries, people that have the capacity, irrespective of their locality, to exalt the name of Jesus. If you find such an evangelist in the bank, he's still an evangelist. You find a prophet in the house of rep. Those are platforms from whence the witness of Christ can find expression. And as long as the church does not sustain the territorial mode, our relevance to our world is going to be bleak. Turn your Bible quickly to the book of Isaiah chapter 3. I know it took a lot of sacrifice for many of us to come here. It took a lot of sacrifice. And indeed, I believe it will not be a waste of effort. Just like Pastor Austin said, we need to begin to cultivate a culture in the body of Christ which the people of God know not any longer. The culture of having your brother's back. Culture of praying for the next person by the side. Culture of praying for pastors, praying for ministers, praying for the purposes of God in our generation. That the hand of God, irrespective of the functionary that he uses, can be extended beyond what we see currently. And I believe God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Once again, Isaiah chapter 3. For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay of the staff, the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water, the mighty man, and the man of war, the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent man, and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. What will be the result of that? Oppression will begin to find expression. Now, if God wants to discipline his people, you see, there are several supplementary security offices that God puts within the territory in order to hold the territory in balance. And if God wants to deal with his people, what he does is that he begins to retrieve these functionaries from the territory. The effect of that will become oppression. The activity of the devil is going to become pronounced. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now, so those offices there are territorial, not mystical. You know, the office of the prophet, the evangelist, is captured within the mystical body. Those are functionaries. By reason of those offices, you are afforded, accelerated grace, encounter in God that will bring you into heights of God. There's an accelerated growth pattern that is available to you on the account of your call if you are consistent with the Spirit of Christ. Right? The purpose for that is so that God can have functionaries in the body that will conduct discipleship and training. The fundamental and basic purpose of the fivefold is so that training and capacity building can continue in the body of Christ, so that men can come to acknowledge the investment of the Spirit of God that is within them and how to take advantage of this investment in order to appropriate and to achieve maximum capacity. And so these lecturers, that's what they do, and they function how they function because of the grace of God that is afforded them in line with the offices that they occupy in the mystical body. But what I'm reading about here in the book of Isaiah are territorial offices. The kind of anointings that God puts within territories in order to influence those territories. And if God considers such a territory to be disobedient to his will, he begins to redeploy this functionary. And then oppression will find expression. All kinds of evils begin to take place within the territory. But as long as those guys are there, you will not experience the rod of oppression. Are you with me? Good. There are some people that the devil will have to kill in order for him to reach a territory. And he is not concerned about the 9 million people that are in that territory. He may be concerned about 3 people. 3 people that have thrones that guarantee their authority within the landscape. He will need to remove them first before he can take care of the 9 million. Because of the occupation that they have within that territory, those 3 people are more important than the 9 million people. I know you don't believe that. But God was willing to wipe out the entire Israel and start another plan with Moses. In the eyes of God, Moses was more strategic than just the multitude. Now, so when we are talking about territorial initiatives, apostolic networking, partnerships within the body of Christ for territorial purposes, we are going to have to take the deep option. Deep. First of all, amen. The title of my message, if you need such, God's territorial messenger. Now we are bringing it into territory.
Because I said that the church can be seen from the global perspective, from the universal perspective, from the eternal perspective, from the organic perspective, and from the territorial perspective. Now, all we are trying to do today is to view from the territorial perspective. Because it is obvious that Christianity today doesn't have impact on our territory called Nigeria. We have so many campsites, so many buildings, so many cathedrals, wonderful buildings, wonderful. Some of them don't have pillars. Hallelujah. An architectural piece. But after Sunday morning, when we come into Monday, you hardly find Christianity on the streets. Because if EFCC is going to arrest, they arrest Samson's, they arrest John's, arrest Andrew's. And when whistleblowers go on rampage, hallelujah. We hardly find conviction, character, separation unto God as part of the culture of the people called Christians today. And so we need to look at some factors. There are several functionaries that God domiciles within territories in order to strike a balance and to ensure that there is regulation of such territory. These are some of the highest functionaries that we have among men in the kingdom of God. Let's begin first of all by looking at the design, how the earth was designed. In order for us to be able to capture this matter very, very well, we need to see how the earth was designed. Can we go to the book of Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. So there were some of God's works that he created, and there were some of God's works that he made. Now, verse 4 sounds like a summary, an executive summary. And our journey will begin from verse 4. It's loaded. It's very, very loaded. So because it is loaded, we may need to probe it from different perspectives to make out the substance that is hidden therein. Verse 4 says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that God made the earth and the heavens. Now, that's a loaded scripture. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth in the day that God created the heavens and the earth. Generations. Well, from my own perspective, the usage of the English word generations has to do with a lineage, a family tree. Hallelujah. So, I am not expecting to see the word generations when creation is being initiated. We are just starting the project, and then the Bible is saying these are the generations. It's difficult for me to understand that. Are you with me? Now, so because of that, we are going to launch a linguistic inquiry to understand the original Aramaic word that was used and the kind of meaning that it sustains within that verse, consistent with the context. If you click on the word generations on your electronic Bible and you probe into the lexicon, you find out that that word is tolidal. Tolidal. Tolidal means to give birth to. It means genealogy.
And we need to understand what we are contrasting and comparing. What we are contrasting and comparing is the heavens and the earth. These are the generations of what? The heavens and the earth. Now, so what that verse of scripture is saying is that there was a particular approach that God used in creating the heavens with respect to the earth. Totally that. And the way God did it was that, or is that, the earth, the visible creation, was forged out of the invisible creation. So the visible creation is like a descendant of the invisible creation. The invisible creation is superior to the visible creation. The visible creation is a product of the invisible creation. Now, if this perspective is true, then it will be supported by scripture. Romans chapter 1. Other scriptures should bear witness to this matter if it is true. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. All right? Can we do verse 20 so that we can begin to make some progress? The Bible says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible is saying that the invisible things that consist in the realm of God are clearly seen, clearly illustrated, clearly represented by the things that are captured within the visible creation. Alright, so the visible creation is an illustration of the invisible creation. In fact, the scriptures reveal that the concept of God's eternal power is fully illustrated in the visible creation. The concept of the Godhead, the government that exists in God, is also clearly illustrated in the visible creation. Everything has its limits. Everything has its boundary. You will see, as bogus as the waves of the sea are, there are boundaries for it. Hallelujah. It means that there is a government that controls, that sustains this existence. And everything about the invisible realm is fully illustrated in the visible realm, because the visible realm derives from the invisible realm. Hallelujah. Now, the implication of that is, if somebody wants to bring about a change in the natural realm, that change, you can initiate the change from the invisible realm. If you initiate the change from the invisible realm, time and season will capture the change and the protocol that you have initiated, and it will give birth to it as if it came naturally. That's why witchcraft is still important. Because they have wisdom as to how to go into the invincible, the supernatural realm, and they change something. They can kill somebody, and the person has a lifeline of 7 days to live. And in these 7 days, the person is existing as a corpse, walking corpse, because the legalities and the protocol to initiate the person's death has already been concluded in the original realm. This realm is a victim. It's a victim of the activities that go on in the invisible. Hallelujah. That's how God creates. That's the design. Are you with me? Oh my God. You know, you guys. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in keeping with this matter, based on this understanding, what happened in the book of Genesis was that an angel had gone rogue. An angel had fallen out of alignment with the government of God. He has been deposed from his office. And because this angel had been deposed from his office, bereaved of his spiritual body, bereaved of his throne, and casted out from relevance. Hallelujah. And all of that activity took place in the invisible realm. And then God now
came into the garden. Because the implication of deposing that angel is that because of the relationship between the invisible and the visible, the impact of what happened in the invisible realm will inevitably find expression in the visible realm. Are you with me? Now, if the realms were not related like that, it would not be a challenge. But the challenge now exists. When this angel went rogue, God had to come into the garden to pre-inform this man. Because Adam's assignment was to dress the garden and what to keep the garden. Now, what does it mean to keep the garden? That's the first territorial rule, keeping. Actually, as we go on, you'll find out that is what is called guardianship. The first territorial officer is the guardian. And the first guardian was Adam. And his assignment was to keep the garden. But unknown to Adam, his assignment was like the duty of a linesman. How many of you still watch Champions League? It's long. Amen. Champion. I don't even know the difference. The same one is called Premier League. Or is it the same thing? It's not the same thing. All right. But the last time I checked, I think we still have linesmen in football. They have not changed that one. So a guardian is like a linesman. He stands within the physical realm and the invisible realm. And he checks against infiltration. And his assignment is territorial, to keep the territorial integrity. There are many things, just in case you have been raised as a linesman, the guardian of your family. There are many intruders that can invade that family, who create patterns that are not consistent with the ordinations of God. All kinds of manipulations will begin to take place if there is no guardian. Nobody checks the borders. It's like the work of the customs. Contraband, have been smuggled. What did they say about Nigeria? That we have 48 porous borders within the southwest to the northwest. 48. That means we are without guardianship. We are actually without guardianship. So the guardian stands. He is in the natural realm, but he has spiritual capacity to check infiltration from the invisible dimension. And unfortunately for Adam, he failed in his guardianship, and the implication was that spirit that went rogue entered into his domain and possessed one of the creatures within his landscape. Adam's failure did not begin just with eating the fruit. His failure began in his duties as a guardian. Many terrible things happen in a territory when there is insufficient guidance. We must understand that God has allocated us outside of our designation within the context of the body of Christ. We have assignments territorially, and that's why the Bible reveals that two things that are influenced by the sovereignty of God as touching us is that the Bible says that we were made of one blood. So there's nothing like first world, second world, third world. We were made of one blood, and the Bible says that God preordained our times of visitation. And God also preordained the boundaries of our habitation. The reason why God preordained the boundaries of our habitation is because your assignment, particularly your assignment with respect to guardianship, is tied to a location. You must have heard that if you are not in the right location, you are not likely to be afforded provision. You need to be in the location in order for what you to receive your allocation. Glory to God. That's cheap gospel. Because the Bible says that if you are willing and obedient, There's a willingness, there's an obedience before you tap into the good of the land. The fact that you are physically in the location doesn't do anything. There is a willingness, there's an obedience, there's a response, there's a function that you need to carry out in that location in order for you to be considered a wonderful functionary within the territory. And then the good is not everything that witchcraft affected in the land. Some things, yes, have been kept away from witchcraft, so that the functionaries that are located to that territory begin to operate effectively and begin to till the land. Then we stumble upon goods that Baba kept in store. Those goods are not captured within the indices of the economy of the nation. I saw one advert on Facebook, the economy. The goods within your territory will not be captured in the statistics of that conference. They were kept there by God because He knows that functionaries will be posted to those places. And if those functionaries by any means decide to be faithful to God, decide to obey God, then they're entitled to good. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. All right. So God preordained the boundaries of our habitation. And when we talk about the boundaries of our habitation, it goes beyond just a physical territory. It can become a workspace territory. Maybe you are in CBN. That's a boundary. That's a habitation that God had released a functionary into because there is an assignment to carry out on that platform. Except we begin to consider the church from the territorial perspective, just like I said, we will not see God in the offices. We will not see His work manifested through the House of Assembly. We will not see Him in government. All the policies and the policy direction of government will be antichrist, demonic, driven by darkness, just because we don't have people assigned to such places that are aware of the responsibilities that are upon their shoulders. Because, as we saw yesterday, the metaphor church, according to the book of Revelation, is a lampstand, a candlestick set so high, and the illumination is the witness of Christ. The witness of Christ is supposed to be seen from every platform. In fact, the total purpose of God in the entirety of time is to bring everything under the authority of Christ, so that everything will reflect Christ. And my reference for that is in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. Everything was ordained to reflect Christ. Christ, the glory of God. Christ, the image of God. Christ, the definition of God. Everything is supposed to reflect Christ. And that's how God ordained it. And that was part and parcel of God's eternal purpose. That's the crest that He wants to stand on everything, on every man, on every platform, on every place, that the crest of Christ will be present there. And that kind of assignment will not be performed by angels. And so the Bible says that He preordained the boundaries of our habitation. If you stay in a place for 2 years and we don't see the effect of your life in that place for 2 years, you are an abnormal Christian. If nobody was impacted, if no encounter took place, if nobody is drawn closer to God on your account, nobody encounters God, nobody realizes His calling. Hallelujah. It means we have no witness. We are just like a candlestick without illumination. The purpose for which we were created is not in force. We are living like creatures measured into time. Our capacities and thrones in the realm of the spirit is not reflected in our daily existence. Alright. Let's push on this guardianship matter. Let's push it on a little more. Can we do to take 45 minutes to unload or offload? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 to take like 45 minutes to offload this matter. Matthew 13. Now, technical people, stay with me because we need to do some very critical study. Okay, do we have an extra microphone? I need an orator. an extra microphone. Who is the orator for the morning? An orator. Where is Kemi? Kemi, come and become an orator this morning. Yes. Where is she sitting? All right. You can pick up the microphone. And then you are going to do some very fluent reading. No, sit down. Sit down anywhere you are. Okay. Sit down here. Sit down here so that I can be rebuking you if you go out of line. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to do an anatomy, okay? Just a brief anatomy. Open some scriptures. Pick the intestine, pick the liver, pick the lungs. Then we'll label it. This is what is inside the scripture. When we fully label it, then we'll now go here and interpret. This is equal to this, this is equal to this. Then at the end of the day, you see a message. All right, so let's do that for Matthew chapter 13. Are you there? So Kemi, you're going to take it from verse 3. Matthew chapter 13, from verse 3 to verse 8. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 3 to verse 8. God's territorial messengers. These guys are landlords. Landlords. Take them out of the land, take them out of the territory. They may not be too significant, but as long as they are within the scope of the territory that God has placed them, even when witches say somebody has been programmed to die, those ones have power to reverse it. So the land will not go in the direction of the will of witches and covens. It will go in the direction of the will of the landlords. In fact, Satan has more problem in a land. The problem that Satan has in a land of 9 million people can be traced to 3 men, can be traced to 4 men. These are men of stature, men of ranking. And we are going to look at all the variables and the accessories that God affords a guardian. Hallelujah. Now, so Kemi, let's go. From verse 3. Matthew chapter 13. Please stay with me.
And he spake many things unto them in parables.
He spake many things unto them in parables.
Saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow.
Okay.
And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside.
All right.
And the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some
34. Right. So we have some metaphors within that parable that we need to pick. First metaphor is the seed. Can you? I don't know how you're going to do it in your notebook. But just give one whole line to seed. Second metaphor is wayside. Third is foul. Fourth, stony places. Fifth, sun. Six, root. Seven, thorns. Eight, good ground. Did you get that? Oh, I was too fast. The technical man, you should type fast too. No. Well, okay. The guy at the back won't even see what you're writing, but it will not be out of place to write it. Maybe the technical man can pick it from there. Yes, we have seed. Okay, we need what do they call those guys? Stenographer. A stenographer. You have good writing. Glory. Okay. Seed. Wayside. Foul. Stony places. Now, I'm not going to allow you guys to waste my time. Yes, stony places. Go on. Then we have sun. Four. Stony places, then sun, then we have root, then we have thorns, then we have good ground. Root, okay, thorns, then good ground. Fowls, number three, fowls. Alright, okay.
Hallelujah. Kemi, are you still with me? Okay, let's jump to verse 18. In verse 18, Jesus makes an attempt at explaining the meaning of the parable, and he gives us all of the metaphors that were used to conceal the message. All right, 18 to 22. 18.
Yeah. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower.
Yep.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not.
Then wait. The seed here is the message of the kingdom. No, I don't want to trouble you like this. It's the message of the kingdom. It's not the message of prosperity. There's a message of prosperity. Alright? The message of prosperity is captured in the covenant that God established with Abraham. That is the basis upon which God will ever bless. God has no other arrangement outside of what he did with Abraham that captures the blessing of humankind. Alright? So all our bearing in that doctrine must derive from that covenant. And our practice and procedure must be consistent with the works of Abraham as he operates in that covenant. And I don't want to press that further. But you see, the message here, the seed here, is not the message of prosperity. The seed here is not the message of blessing. The seed here is the message of the kingdom. Now, and I need us to understand that. If you are still with me, say amen. Alright. The message of the kingdom is the seed that the sower kept sowing. Now, that message of the kingdom is a radical message. It's a message that reveals that humankind, we were created as kingdom agents. Originally. And we were given a designation in the kingdom that is next to God. Number three. We were the only creation in the entire creation that was not created after our kind. We were created after the God kind. Number four, we were the only creatures in the entire creation that is given the privilege to be a partaker of the divine nature. Number five, we were the only creatures in the entire creation that are supposed to represent God. And so you find scriptures that say, as God is in heaven, so are we in this world. We are the only creatures that the Bible called gods, small g, and children of the Most High God. That means we operate under the authority of the sovereign and the supreme entity God. Now, if by any means you are found operating outside of the jurisdiction for which God has ordained you, you are lost because you are not in your habitat. Every creature has a habitat that it was designed to function in. God is our own habitat. That's where we get our reference from. That's where we get our light from. That's where we get our perspective from. It is in God that our purposes exist. It is by the government of God and the regulations that come from God that we can actually represent Him effectively upon the face of the earth. You must have, oh my God, I didn't bring my diary. I should have given you an executive summary of the entire Bible. I planned for that this morning. Hallelujah, it's in my room. Glory to God. The message of the Bible, as I said yesterday night, is about Christ and His kingdom. And everything that we preach must take its bearing from the basic theme of the Bible. This is the basic theme of the Bible. Now we see Christians, oh my God, I don't have time. I would have brought my diary, it would have simplified it. I would have shown you for Genesis, the prophets, the Psalms, the Gospels, the epistles to the book of Revelation. It's one message, just like that, so straight, down to the end. It's about the kingdom, because God runs a kingdom. His throne is from forever and ever. He's always been ruling. That's what He is. That's who He is. And this message is about the message of how we can participate in that realm where God is ruler, as miniature rulers, extending his government into the earth sphere. Now that's the message that this sower was preaching. It's within the context of this message that we can actually define what the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of heaven is. Don't worry, we are still going to do our school of the kingdom, because we have four basic products: the school of prophets, the school of the kingdom, doctrine and balance, and what the Bible says. Those are our four products. Because sometimes some people claim that they go to hell and then they encounter something and then come back with a message for the church. So we need to check what the Bible says. And if those kind of things are not consistent with the Bible, it means the people heard something that is not God. But we are sure they heard something. But the Bible can decide, can reveal whether it is God they heard. We are not concerned about what they heard. We know they heard something. But we need to compare it with the Bible to know its origin, its heck, its source. So once and again, we have to troubleshoot some movements in our generation from the perspective of the Bible. In those days, we war with spirits that bring lies to the people of God by using the vista of truth. So those are the four products that we have. So when we come next for the school of the kingdom, we will touch this matter very well. The forgotten gospel, the missing emphasis. And it is in doctrine and balance we find out that there are several teachings that are major causes and some are elected. It's Jesus that said that. He said you have preached the, emphasized the weightier matters of the, you have despised the weightier matters of the law, and you have majored in tithing of cumin, anise, and mint. Tithing. And Jesus did not say stop tithing. Jesus said, you would have continued preaching your tithing, but you would have also added the other weightier matter. So there's a possibility that a man is not balanced with doctrine. Now, that kind of imbalance produces what we call doctrinal disease. Nigeria is a product, the obese nature of the Nigerian church and the android perspective of the Nigerian stomach is a proof that we are under an ailment, which is a function of strange doctrine. We emphasize the electives, avoid the majors, and we have not been able to graduate from the level that them people like Babalola took us to. We are obeyed, and except Jesus comes and helps us, we are likely to be here for a long time. So those are our four products. It's when we come for the school of the kingdom that we are going to see. You won't believe what you will see. We have so gone far away. We are just an elitist umbrella without power. So much talk. And the kingdom of God is not in words. The kingdom is so bogus that you need a display, a demonstration of its essence for you to know that he doesn't need you to believe it in order for that kingdom to be authentic. Hallelujah. And so it's a message of the kingdom that this, and this is not a lucrative message, not lucrative. Because the nature of the fallen man is a nature of independence. A nature of, I'm the guy. I run things around. I call the shots. And then in the message of the kingdom, we will all have to align to the government of God. In fact, the purpose of grace, one of the things we will do, at the first, what the Bible says, or doctrine and balance we will do is the doctrine of grace. We have to go there. Because I heard some people teaching something, and I sat down diligently to download what they were teaching. And I found out that in what they were teaching, there were 12 errors. Yeah, there are 12 errors. We are not, if you want to preach, we'll hear you. But we'll compare what you are saying with the scripture. Like those people that said they went to hell and came back. I did a liturgy on that and put it on cable. Hallelujah. And I caused the thing. And the thing stopped selling. But you know what? The pastors called me and said, you are Damboroba. That Boroba shit, you are cut. You are cast in the name of Jesus. The people were telling people about hell and they were buying Jeep with the sales of the book in Abuja. They say I was cursed. Hallelujah. But you know what? It's guardianship. Yeah, that's yeah. Guardianship is not an easy job, just like working in the military, the customs. It's not an easy job. And there are various ranges of the demands of guardianship. Like, for instance, my practice of guardianship in the body of Christ has to do with doctrine, the kind of things that travel in the body. I have authority to check movements. I have that authority. Now, my guardianship territorially, as small as I am for now, I hope it grows later. You see that thing they call Benue State. If I'm still alive, the devil can't have it. Yes. It's not an amen matter. It is so. By placement. I can be in Cotonou, but God will be giving me revelation about my own region, territory of guardianship. Now we'll go into it more deeply. I just want to strike a balance. Are you with me? Oh, I said, are you with me? Now, so this kind of job that we are doing is not common, because it takes an authority from Jesus for you to do it. Because we went and paid NTA so that we can have 30 minutes program. Then pastors went and gathered money and paid NTA and said, that young man there, ensure that you don't air him. So the TV will be clear until our own program comes, then it will begin to be like. And we paid 380,000. That time, 380,000. I'm talking about 4 years ago. They made it so costly. We paid. And then when it comes, but even though it was doing like this, it was only the voice that were here. So we're paying TV to broadcast radio. May the Lord give you understanding. Next time we can talk about the civil war. There's a civil war in the body of Christ. Two generations are standing, and then there's the nature of the civil war and how to be involved in the fight so that the kingdom will win. Because there are some other guys on ground, their own emphasis is not. All right, so that's the seed, the message of the kingdom. Go on.
Okay, verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not.
Wayside man is the guy that heard the word of the kingdom and did not understand it.
Then cometh the wicked one.
The fowls of the air is Satan and his demons, the wicked one.
And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart.
Tell me you are fast. The fowls of the air are Satan and his demons. Alright, go on.
And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart.
Okay.
This is he which received the seed by the wayside.
Now, the guy that received the seed by the wayside, the demons came and took away the message of the kingdom. Now, you see, demons are actually standing by to whisper into the hearts of men, whisper into the ears of men, every time the message of the kingdom is preached. Because the message of the kingdom is going to generate functionaries for God. People he can manipulate, people he can control for territorial purposes to achieve his will upon the face of the earth. The devil is afraid when that message is preached. It's so powerful. It generates loyalty to Christ. It generates loyalty to God. Men are ready to sacrifice, to pay the price, to die, to see to it that the purposes of God prosper. Every time that message is preached, the devil is not comfortable. And so he needs to station his minions, his infantry, by the heart of every man. And when you begin to hear that message, he will whisper to you. He will orchestrate circumstances and situations to make that message not to take root in your life. Hallelujah. Okay, so sister, go on.
Verse 20.
20.
But he that received the seed into stony places.
Stony places.
The same is he that heareth the word.
All right.
And anon with joy receiveth it.
So, you see, reception is not a challenge for this personality. Go on. What happens to him?
Yet, has he not root in himself?
He doesn't have any root.
But endureth for a while.
Endureth for a while.
For when tribulation or persecution arises.
All right, so we can put persecution there. Stony places, persecution. The message of the kingdom is that message that when you hear, you become a victim of persecution. Satan will orchestrate circumstances and situations to subdue what you have received. Hallelujah. To overcome it so that you no longer subscribe to that philosophy. And given that the philosophy is anti-human, it's anti-human, it will be easy for you to let go of that philosophy. So persecution comes on the account of that message. Go on.
For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Offense. The son that scourged is the persecution. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, those are orchestrations from the environment. Orchestrations. That's when the day you are in need of house rent and there's a kingdom burden. It's a kingdom burden. And then the devil wants to make you feel that your house rent is superior to your call. And then he gets you to do something that is inconsistent with the nature of your God and your call. You violate your call in order to get sustenance for house rent. Hallelujah. That it will become that bad. Hallelujah. Go on. The roots.
22.
Yeah, 22.
He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word.
He that received what? Received the seed on
among the thorns.
Thongs, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the world. So cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. This one here is lack of depth. The message of the kingdom will not allow it to challenge the lawlessness that is in our soul. Because there's lawlessness in our soul. The way our soul is wired according to the fall. And self is exalted in the human soul, in the fallen human soul. And God is trying to correct that defilement, that template is inconsistent with the perspective of his design. And so he uses the message of the kingdom as a basis to command submission, which should have been the outcome if we had subscribed to the fruit of life. Would have been totally dependent on God. And God will infiltrate our spirit and then use the power of our spirit to regulate our soul, and then our body, our mortal body, will be in alignment and take commandment and instruction from our soul that has been influenced. And you see, you will notice that when the message of the kingdom begins to seek to gain root in the heart of a man, because that message is so powerful, if it has gained entrance into you, it will become the basis of your philosophy. To become the basis of your scale of measure, to become the basis of your outlook. Are you with me? You just become such a personality that principalities cannot control. Because your own control center is from the third heavens, and the command tower of that nation is in your spirit man. So it doesn't matter what kind of lust the devil brings your way, what kind of comparison he wants you to get into. But you see, your own pace is the pace of grace. The pace of grace that is facilitated by the investment of God that is inside of you. And so maybe the next brother there, the next truck down the road, they have 1,500 members, and you are doing what God said you should do, and you have 25 members. The devil will come and say, can't you see that man? Can't you see that man? But the true kingdom man that is truly wired by God, he understands the voice of the flesh. And he doesn't subscribe. So that lust that the devil brings, in order to draw him out of alignment, he doesn't comply. Sometimes the devil comes in the natural, and he tries to take advantage of our physical senses. Hallelujah. Brings a damsel, a fair damsel, to look upon. And she comes around like that. And there's an attraction. But you see, a man that is sold out in the kingdom, he has been sucked into the spirit. His allegiance is deep inside of God. For you to get him to violate that allegiance and attend to an issue of loss here is an impossibility. It's more difficult than you think, because this thing has taken root, and there's the production line. A part of the production line is producing 30%. A part of the production line producing what? 60%. No. It's more difficult. It's more difficult for such a man to. If you have loved God, you come to a point where you have loved God, and you stayed tuned to loving God. There are several things God will do to you that His love constraining you will not allow you to do, violate several principles of the kingdom. At that point, Christianity becomes a lifestyle. And you see, the foundation upon which this civilization will be built is the message of the kingdom. This is the teaching that builds the kind of people that are kingdom functionaries. Alright, let's press further. Yes. Kemi, are you still there? You will now begin to read from Hallelujah. You are not here. You are not with me. You are not with me. Stay with me. Now, because what I want you to see is in the sequence of parables, there are seven parables, and in the sequence, the Bible makes us to understand that if you do not understand this first parable, the possibility of understanding subsequent parables does not exist, because it's a build up from this initial point. Everything begins with a seed, with the message of the kingdom. Everything in influencing this world, it's only kingdom men that can influence this world, not church men. Kingdom men. Men that have been shaped, their philosophy, their conviction, their lifestyle have been shaped by the teachings that expose them to the government of God. Those are the kind of men that have the capacity to bring the perspective of God into a particular territory. Now, so we are going to move again. Since we have these basics, we'll get to the second parable. Are you still with me? I said, are you with me?
Yes.
Alright, so we are going to go to the second parable. The second parable is where the crux of the matter is. So have you taken this list? Oh, that's a great job from the technical people. We have not gotten what? Good ground is the man in which the message of the kingdom has prospered in his life. Such a man that the message of the kingdom has prospered in his life is dependable. Heaven can depend upon him. Woe to a generation if a man that the gospel of the kingdom has not prospered in his life eventually becomes a pastor. So you understand? That kind of guy is going to have another God. His God can be his belly. His God can be his pocket. His God can be his pride. His God can be his fame. His God can be his ego. There are so many things that human beings can worship. Hallelujah. And if you are unfortunate to be a victim of a pastor whose God is his pride, oh my, you need to be a very low slave to survive around him. Don't even say that God spoke to you. It will be a trouble. Because the only person that God has right to speak to in this community is me. You begin to see many things manifest. All kinds of things. You begin to wonder, is this God? The reason why you are confused is because that person, Baba did not find a good ground for the message of the kingdom. So he's still speaking in tongues, and maybe he has some anointing upon him. But the purpose, what the anointing will be used to build, is not the kingdom of God. Because this one has not been secured as a good ground. And so in order for us to begin to solve this problem, we have to go to the beginning. And the beginning is the message of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The what? Message of the kingdom. Now, when we come for the school of the kingdom, we are going to look at that message of the kingdom. Kingdom men operating under the rule that is in the 10 heavens. The 10 characteristics of men that operate under the rule of the 10 heavens. Hallelujah. We'll look at that. Then we'll check in more detail all the parables of the kingdom, the straight message. You discover that those utterances, those parables are prophecies. They are prophecies. They are types and shadows that brings us context, structure, and perspective so that we can see the possibilities and the variables that exist, and then we can understand the path of accuracy. You know, you cannot see your fuel tank. You can see it when you are driving, but there's an indicator there with which you can know how much you have left in your tank. You see, there are indicators in the Bible that gives us perspective on how to read things that we don't have the capacity to see. Yes, and there's a lot of that in Scripture in order to guide our walk with God. Now, our walk with God is not that vague. If we all become Berean, it'll be easy for us to challenge a lot of things that are flying around. All right, let's go to the second parable that begins from, that's Matthew chapter 13 from verse 24, and then we're going to pick again. Now, before Pastor Austin cleans this, hey, are you still with? Oh my. Now notice, there's something you're not seeing that I want to draw your attention to. You see, the end product of the first parable is that the men, that the word of the kingdom has found place in their life, and it has grown so much so that it has built their philosophy, their perspective. That's the end product of the first parable. You get that? The end product of the first parable is the beginning of the second parable. Are you still with me? You are not with me. In the second parable, these men that the gospel of the kingdom has prospered in their life, it has affected their psychology, it has affected their outlook, their vista, their perspective. These men in the second parable, God now harvests them and plants them in territories. You see, are you there? Uh-huh. He plants them where? He moves Tolu to Ogbomosho. Moves Doctor to Ekiti. Moves KG to Lagos. He plants them in. They are the same breed. The same kind of people. The same kind of tendencies. Their uniqueness is in their mandates and their callings, but they are uniquely, fundamentally the same. Are you with me? And then he places them in territories. And then when he places them in territories, you are going to discover that God was not the only horticulturist. And as God was trying to develop these legumes in his own greenhouse, that demons also had their greenhouse. So when it was territorial time, when God came and planted, the devil also planted men. And that's what produces what we call kingdom warfare. All right. Okay. Let's read.
Verse 24. Mm-hmm. Another parable put he forth unto them.
Yep.
Saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed.
Now don't be confused. Don't be confused. This is second parable. So don't think it means the word of the kingdom. He now, okay, but you will see the interpretation. No, there's no chance. All right, go on. 24.
25.
Yeah. 25.
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares.
Wait, you are faster than Pastor Austin. What's wrong with your duster? Is it a decorative accessory? Hallelujah. The sower goes about again. He transplants those kingdom men that the message of the kingdom has prospered in their lives, and he puts them within territories. Some others, he drafts them into families through marriage. And then there are all kinds of things in the family. There's a reason why he planted. Ah, the plantings of the Lord. That they might be called what? The trees of righteousness. The plantings is a deliberate planting. It's a deliberate intention. The plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. While we wait for Pastor Austin to do the cleaning, let us jump to Isaiah chapter 61. Let's get that scripture. It's a very wonderful scripture. Are you there in 61? Isaiah 61. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called. This is the end product for which God gives a call. This is the end product for which God gives a call to a man. And meanwhile, in the administration of the policies of heaven, God will never do anything upon the earth except he gives a man a call. A call is God's way of administering a policy. And then he gives a man a call and gives a man an anointing. And what that call should produce, and what that anointing should produce, is trees of righteousness, plantings of God, that he might be glorified in every territory. Trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. The mark of the ranking of a particular church is when he has raised men that are capable of being isolated from the mother church, the parent arena, and they can stand on their own and produce and reproduce the culture of that house in a particular territory where they are not under surveillance. That is a proof of the ranking of a church is in its capacity to send men, not to gather. Separate unto me. That was the apostolic model. Paul and what? And Barnabas. Do you realize that the Jerusalem church was not able to send any man out? Oh, you are not with me. There's a part of my message you don't always like, Abby. Meanwhile, that part is the one I'm called to do. That's the body. The Jerusalem church did not successfully send anybody out. So God had to allow persecution to hit that church. Philip the evangelist never knew he had the capacity of a territorial missile that could capture a city until persecution came. That church had outstayed its usefulness and it was becoming a mutated organic matter. So God had to do something desperate. He had to move his resources from Jerusalem. He had to move his resources to Antioch and to establish another headquarters. The Jerusalem church was big, but in context, in form of function, in form of strategy, in form of extending the frontiers of the kingdom, we didn't find a lot of initiatives coming from there. We saw a glimpse of their council meeting when they were deliberating on doctrinal issues. We knew it was heavy with the color and texture of Judaism had weighed it down. Its flexibility was cut off. It had God knew that. See, this thing doesn't have the punch and power to take territory. And so he had to do something. And then people were moving around, preaching the gospel. But the real guys that moved, they did not move because of the persecution. Men like Agabus. They moved in style. You would think it's, you know, CNN will say there's persecution. BBC will say there's persecution. And so Christians are moving. But there was a band of people that moved. It was not the persecution that made them move. Those guys moved because of season, because of time. They were sons of Isaac, Agabus and his band. They were a little prayer group in Jerusalem. Their name was never known in the public assembly. But when the purposes of God moved, that was when we heard of Agabus. They came out of the cave and they began to journey in the direction of God's current emphasis. You can stay in the pool in the bogus congregation that is obese and android. But you see, in this time, there's a movement. It's an exodus. It's an underground movement. God is orchestrating that movement. So that you can regroup and form an operation within the territory. And in order to bring about that operation, he had to capture men like Saul, like Paul and Barnabas that were grounded in doctrine. Then he moved Agabus and his friends, intercessors and prophets. And for the first time, there was an alliance of offices. teachers and prophets were in alliance, and an oppression was formed in a territory. It was in that context, it was in that place that the church had the stature to be a sending center for the first time. It was in Antioch, because of the apostolic and prophetic partnership, are you with me, that Christians, believers were first called Christians. Because that was the purest expression of the intent of Jesus, pioneered by men that did not walk with Jesus physically. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Because of that, it was a movement. And out of that movement, they had a sending, launching pad. And the first guys that were released by the rocket launchers of Antioch, Paul, Barnabas, those guys overtook Asia Minor. And that's why God doesn't allow census Israel to count people. How will you, okay, will you count Moses and count Moses as Moses one? That's an error. A man that confronted the 12 spirits of Egypt, ended the civilization in the days of his trouble, money failed in Egypt. Will you count, say, this is one man? Every time Israel conducted a census, God cursed them. Every time. You can't say, this is one man. This is one man. No. This is a nation. This is a nation in movement. The wisdom, the powers committed to him. No, this is not one man. This is a movement. An entire movement. And so God had to regroup. And then we now saw alliances beyond platforms. Agabus was strong enough to be the general overseer of a ministry. Maybe he was. But in order to orchestrate an operation, they had to align beyond ministry conveniences so that something can happen within the territory. And God is beginning to teach us this matter afresh, although we are learning it small, small. Hallelujah. Some of us will not die on our platforms. We are not increasing there. Beyond what God has called us to do, there is a territorial assignment that only my grace cannot prosecute. And when that level of alliance and networking begins to take place in the body of Christ, then the shape of the body begins to emerge in that place. Just like it was, the shape of the body emerged in Antioch. That mystical body will begin to see the shape in eternity. All right. We are back to our parable. So we have a sower. The sower
verse 25.
All right.
But while men slept,
okay,
his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat.
So we have wheat, we have tares. Wheat.
And went his way.
Wait now. Put tares there now. We have tares. We have a field. Field. We have men. Why men slept? Why men slept? Alright, so, and then what do we have again? Okay, go on, sister, go on.
But when the blade was sprung up.
The blade was sprung up.
And brought forth fruit.
Yeah.
Then appeared the tares also.
Okay.
So the servants of the householder.
Now we have servants. That's a metaphor. Servants.
The servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then as it says? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this.
Enemy, put enemy there.
The servant said unto him, Without then that we go and gather them up. But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat.
This one will need to grow side by side. So we have a strange breed surviving side by side with a good breed. Go on.
30.
30.
Let both grow together.
All right.
Until the harvest.
Okay.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers.
Okay, then finally we have reapers. Jump to 37. Jesus himself is trying to give us an interpretation.
He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.
He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So that's Jesus. Meanwhile, let me read something quickly. Sister, stay where you are. That it might be fulfilled. This is Matthew chapter 3, verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables and will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And it means this secret. They are secrets here. So Jesus is operating the capacity of revealer of secrets. I will draw something from that subsequently. Yeah, so we have the sower. What's the wheat? Go on.
38.
Yes.
The field is the world.
Field, world. Yeah, go on.
The good seed are the children of the kingdom.
Now you see, in this case, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Where did this start from? The message of the kingdom. Now we have, these are the guys that the message of the kingdom fell on good ground in their, and they have become kingdom men. So God harvests these kingdom men and puts them within territories. And the devil harvests demonic people and puts them within territories. Sometimes even some of these people, no, let me not fight now. Hallelujah. If a kingdom man makes a mistake and then now marries from the other camp, you can imagine what will happen. Huh? If a kingdom man now marries somebody that was whitewashed from that other camp and placed somewhere, this is part of the warfare, in the territorial warfare, because he knows that as long as I have my own man linked to this man, it doesn't matter what ordination he carries, there will be a buffer that is arranged by the side to ensure that he doesn't attain to the intent of God. Hallelujah. Now the warfare begins once you have been identified as a personality that God wants to use as an instrument within a territory. Your warfare has begun, because it's not only God that is sowing, the devil also. So this one is children of Satan. And unfortunately, I don't have time. If we were doing the real kingdom lecture, I would have shown you that not every believer is an agent of the kingdom. We would have been able to do it very, very technically so that you will see the great divide. Not every believer is a child of the kingdom. Every believer is born again. Every believer has the life of God. But see, the life of God affords you one major privilege. It gives you perception of what is obtainable in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? So you have the perception of God's intent, policy, direction, all of that. But you see, when you know God's will, you are faced with a challenge. What is the challenge? Whether to choose to do it or to choose not to do it. So entry, let me not go too far. There are kingdom people decide to choose to serve the will of God. In fact, in the Nigerian church right now, 84% of Christians are outside of that sphere that is regulated by God's throne. 84%. And that's the reason for false doctrine. The reason for false doctrine, if Satan cannot get you not to give your life to Christ, the next thing he will do is that he doesn't want you to come under the government of God. You will not be too useful to God outside of his government. So most believers are still living for self. The average Lagosian wakes up 5 o'clock, goes to work in the morning, comes back 11 in the night, not because he's serving God. Most of us go to work as work to draw a salary. Meanwhile, kingdom people go to work anywhere human beings are. They go there to bear witness. You see, we don't look for pulpits, we look for people. Because anywhere people are, ministry is.
Yes.
In your own line of duty, as a doctor, I've heard many testimonies that of the things that God has used him to do in his line of duty, not pulpit, line of duty. He has met with occultic people, he has met with all kinds of men seeking to be healed, and that's a good place to be. It's a good gradient. You know, when notorious people can come to doctors, when they come to doctors, they are patients. They are patients. They submit. Oh my God, we need. You understand what I'm talking about? The average Christian loses his identity when he gets to work. Meanwhile, that's where he spends his active time. That's where your ministry is, for God's sake. We spent 2 years in Abuja, by Abuja office. I have disciples from that 2 years, the 2 years window at work. Yes. A kingdom man, an evangelist in the supermarket is an evangelist. If you smuggle him in, then ministry is possible. It doesn't matter where it's planted, he will give expression to his conviction. And that will be sufficient witness in that sphere. And every sphere needs a witness. And so what God does is that he takes the kingdom men and he plants them in territories, and it can be an office territory, it can be a location, it can be a family territory, it can be a government territory, but he plants them in territories. And guess what? You also find children from the other side there. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go. Sister, go on.
Okay. The tares are the children of the wicked one. 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil.
Devil.
The harvest is the end of the world.
End of the world. Okay, sorry, we didn't even put harvest. Harvest. Harvest, end of the world. Go on.
And reapers are the angels.
Angels. Do you know, Jesus, are you still with me? You are not with me. Stay with Christ. Stay in class. Don't run away from class. Hallelujah. Now listen, the master decided to deliberately not give us the meaning of these two. The great master. You know, these things are secret. And Baba refused to disclose this secret of two functionalities. Now, I will give you one. The one that concerns my teaching. You go and find who the servants are. Because the men are guardians. Those are the men that need to sleep before an enemy will come. Guess what? In Nigeria, 87% of guardians are asleep. The arrival of Boko Haram is an indication of the fact that a guardian slept. Nothing, you can't introduce anything into the territory without passing through the gate that was supposed to be manned by a guardian. The story of Esther gives us the philosophy of deep undercover. You might claim that this man is a doctor, you don't know. There's something more in him than being a doctor. Meanwhile, he's an intelligent doctor. Very soon, he'll become a consultant. Glory to God. But beyond that, there's something he is much more than that. Hallelujah. That young man is a prophet. And he, that platform gives him access. It's a platform for him to carry out part of his prophetic ministry. Please help me tell your neighbor, don't look for pulpits. That was weak. If you preach that, if you preach the gospel like that, nobody will believe you. That was too weak. It's as if you don't believe it. Just preach to the person. Don't look for pulpits. Look for people. Jesus did not have a pulpit. Now, so this is where we are. Guardian. They must sleep before the enemy can come. Help me preach again to your neighbor. It seems you slept. The issue is this: we are not giving the authority to man every gate. We were only given authority to man the gates that we are assigned unto. Hallelujah. One of the gates me I man is the gate of doctrine. The gate of doctrine. I was privileged to be born in a Christian home, raised in a traditional Christian family. I became a Bible student from the age of 12. Studied the Bible. At the age of 16, I do all night Bible study. At the age of 21, I studied the Bible 17 times. And then I stopped counting. I never knew why I was so hungry for scriptures. I studied with lamp. Glory. And then eventually I came to understand that it was for the purpose of guidance. For instance, this man, what's that man's name? That grace man. Something Prince. Joseph Prince. He knows the Bible a lot. You need to know the Bible much more than that for you to find out what he's saying. He's saying just 12 things. And those 12 things are not from God. 12 things. It's easier to detect a false prophet than to detect a false teacher. Especially an intelligent, studious teacher that has become false. Wow. You need to be called into guardianship for you to have the powers of discernment to identify that signal. For instance, as part and parcel of the current grace movement, Jesus Christ died for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. Because of that, there's no need for you to confess a sin. You see, that's why we have the Old Testament. It's a very good illustrative guide. And under the Old Testament, there were 5 sacrifices that God commanded. One was the sin offering. And Christ happens to be our sin offering. Another one is the trespass offering. Maybe you commit an infringement against the law. There's an offering. It's an elaborate sacrifice that you need to make in order for you to be brought back into fellowship with the house of Israel. You are likely to be separated from that house, disfellowshipped. You are still an Israelite, but you are disfellowshipped. It is possible for you to be a believer and you commit an infringement against God. Then what God does is that He gives you a sign of loss of peace. It means that there's something that is going to be wrong between my fellowship and you. And you need to offer a sacrifice. And that sacrifice, you need to do it intentionally in order to furnish the fact that you have repented from that position. And you have learned that spiritual lesson that this activity is inconsistent with my nature. An infringement from the law is a great matter before God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And there is a deliberate procedure. Just like you sin deliberately, you will deliberately seek realignment with God. And you cannot by any means take it away from the Bible when John said that if we confess our sin, you don't have much more stature than John. Because the irony or one of the emphasis of that teaching is that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So every issue of doctrine and dogma should be sourced from the bowels of Paul. Meanwhile, Paul says it is possible for even your spirit to sin. Yes. Have you read the book of Romans chapter 7? Huh? There are filthiness of the flesh. There are also filthiness of what? And I hope you know that Satan was a spirit when he sinned. Spirit. And you think that your spirit cannot revolt. Now that's a doctrine of partition. It's just like what the devil preached in the Garden of Eden. And he said, when Eve said, God will say though, if we eat this food or touch it, we will surely die. And then Satan said, he shall not surely die. There are possibilities their perspectives, their... That's what the grace movement is. It has given occasion to lascivious Christians that don't want to be committed to the government of God to find convenience in their indulgence in defiance. But today is not the day for it. Because the day for it, we will do it like this too. We'll break it down. One, I will show you how that this is how the devil speaks. All those 12 pillars that are in that thing that is moving. And right now it has captured Europe. And I know that there are people in Europe hearing me. It is for their sake that I'm saying this one. Hallelujah. And we are still going to do a very elaborate one. That one will put it on cable. Hallelujah. And for like how many months? That's the only thing that will pay for many months, but only that message will be playing. So probably in the next convergence or so, I don't know, as the Lord permits us, we do thorough doctrine and balance. It was written before we were born. So a man can bamboozle us. The reason why it won't go scot-free is because there are some people that have been given guidance of doctrine. And I do not say so boastfully or in the flesh, but so has he been given. Yes, I speak as a man that has received mercy from God to be trustworthy in this matter. Hallelujah. Guidance. They must be put to sleep in order for the devil to come in. Give me the book of 1 Samuel quickly. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Run with me. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Can you help me? From verse 3 to verse 13. 1 Samuel 7 from verse 3 to verse 13.
And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel.
Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel.
Saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your heart,
all right,
then put away the strange gods.
Put away the strange gods.
And Ashtaroth from among you. And prepare your heart unto the Lord.
Yep.
And serve him only.
Serve him only. And don't mix him with Shongo. Don't mix him with Amadioha. Serve him only. Hallelujah. Go on.
And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.
He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.
Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim.
Put away Baalim.
And Ashtaroth. And serve the Lord only.
This realignment exercise. Everyone brought his own. He brought. Some of them had a under their bed and brought it out. All right, we are going back to God. Going back. See, the whole nation is repenting. All kinds of this, and they came back to God. What was the implication?
And Samuel said,
there was a location that God revealed. Go on.
Gather on Israel to Mizpeh.
He said, let's gather there.
And I will pray for you unto the Lord.
I like priesthood. Ah! God, help us. Oh, help us. Help us. Jesus. He said, gather unto Mizpah. I will pray for you unto the Lord. This prayer was in dry season. This prayer. He uttered it in dry, in stark dry season. And you know, dry season in the Middle East is a dry season that dry season caused dry season. All right, God. Sorry.
And they gathered together to Mizpah.
Yes.
And drew water.
Drew water.
And poured it out before the Lord.
They poured it out before the Lord as a libation.
And fasted on that.
Those were prophetic actions. I don't want to press on that because that's not the. Those were prophetic actions. They were symbolic. They were directive from God in redeeming, because the land has been polluted, in redeeming the land so that righteousness can dwell in it. It was a spiritual ceremony that they went to Mizpah to do. And geographically, that is what. Let's leave that. Go on.
And fasted on that day.
They fasted.
And said there.
They said there.
We have sinned against the Lord.
We have sinned against the Lord.
And Samuel judged the children of Israel.
He judged the children of Israel.
In Mizpah.
In that place. Go on.
And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered
these
together,
guys were doing consecration. They had thrown away the idols. Nobody came for this ceremony with weapons. Alright? So the Philistines now heard that, these guys don't gather here. Let's take advantage. Oh, yeah? Go on.
The lords of the Philistines went up against Israel.
A battle ensued. What's the name of this kind of fight? They suddenly broke out. It's like a guerrilla war. They broke out against Israel. What happened?
And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines.
They were afraid. They were consecrating to God, yet afraid of what was happening in the natural.
And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our
See,
God.
That prayer that we have come for, this prayer you have led us, some of us would have brought a way, we can disappear from here. But this prayer must work. Some of us have some things on the waist. If we tap it like this, tap it, we appear in the forest. Now you brought all of us. You didn't say we should carry weapons. That's the only thing now. That was the day Samuel's guardianship was tested. It was the highest moment in his entire ministry. What did he do? The gift of word of wisdom began to work in his life.
And Samuel took a sucking lamb.
He took a lamb. Well, God must help us. God must help us. This is the work of a prophet. A prophet's office is territorial, not behind a pulpit. Go on.
And offered it for a burnt offering.
He offered it for a burnt offering.
Only unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
And Samuel cried unto
there
the Lord.
There was no part
Israel.
of that lamb that they cut out. Holy, they offered it complete. And then Samuel, while the thing was burning, the incense was going up, Samuel now cried. What happened?
The Lord heard him.
Heaven received that cry. Huh? What happened again?
And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering,
as he was doing that,
the Philistines drew near to the battle
near.
Against Israel.
The gorilla people were still crawling in the forest, coming closer. This was the day that Israel was without weapon. It was only a priest that they had, and priesthood and guardianship and a calling. Israel would have been wiped out this day as a nation because they came out of the woods to Mizpah based on the instruction of the prophet. Go on.
But the Lord came back.
Now this man created rain. Now, okay, wait. Off your mic. Let me see. This man created rain in stark dry season. Because that day, God turned that from heaven. That day, the Philistines were not discomfited by bow and spear. They were discomfited by thunder. And when the list was written in the book of Hebrews, Samuel's name was among the warriors. He made the list of warriors. Just like Jephthah, Barak, and David. They say, and Samuel. And he didn't carry cutlass. True priesthood. Go on. You have not finished my reading.
But the Lord thundered with a great thunder.
With a great thunder.
On that day, upon the Philistines.
Upon the Philistines.
And discomfited them.
Discomfited them. Verse 7 is where I'm going. Where are you?
We're
past 7.
Yes, sir.
Okay, wait. Okay, read again.
Yes,
we have not finished.
Okay, sir.
Mm-hmm.
They were smitten before Israel.
They were smitten before Israel.
And the men of Israel went to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines.
Sorry. Verse 13. Have you reached 13?
No, sir.
Okay. The men of Israel, after the thunder had released some ballistic shots, any feeble man could overturn the battle in the natural. I don't know why God will never finish the battle for us. He wants us to participate with him. I believe that is That is a privilege. He knocked them out and then left what was left for any feeble man to overturn it. Alright, go on.
And smote them.
They smote them.
Until they came to Bethka.
Okay, we cannot look at the... Well, just jump to 13. Let me come out.
So the Philistines were subdued. And they came no more into the coast
from
of Israel.
From that day again, they did not come to visit Israel. Read on.
And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. All the days of Samuel.
There was a dimension of priesthood and guardianship that man was operating, that there was no need for the Philistines to test again. As long as Samuel was alive, no need for battle. So that means the Philistines will be buying newspaper from Israel. The day they hear Samuel had died, they come back. The territorial integrity of the land was kept, not by soldiers, not by military might. It was kept by Samuel. Even David did not have this record. The entire border, no violence had capacity to cross into it because of the exercise of guidance. Can you say that for your family? That no demon can crawl. No wickedness can infiltrate. Because there's a guardian that has been set here. There's order. There's dominion. There's rest. And all of that is because there is a guardian that has been set up in this place. The first territorial functionary is a guardian. I don't know if I have time. Guardian. Oh my God. Why men slept, an enemy came. Why men slept? Where is the guardian of Nigeria? Because if the guardian of Nigeria were operating, were functional, if that office existed and it was fully occupied, Boko Haram would not come. There was somebody that had to sleep for Boko Haram to come. You have heard about the outrageous corruption that is in our land. There are guardians that were kept in those corridors that had to be in order for the land to be plundered this much. Even in the body of Christ, people that were practitioners, they were priests to Ogbanje spirit that we knew in the village. Some of them put on tie. Now, I saw some of them in Abuja. These were priests to Ogbanje. Their consort, their priesthood of consultation was at the city steps by the water lake. I saw one of them in Abuja with Jericho. So they have found a way of transporting from the riverside. I say technology we never knew existed in darkness. There's an upgrade. And you see, when they preach, they don't preach doctrine. They just say, "Hey, this fire! We close." Hey, Kayeto mine kambre sakapa. I saw the man will get angry and carry the Bible. He will shake it like this. He never opened it for 45 minutes. Hey, like this. In fact, the other day I was embarrassed. I watched one on TV. He was trying to prophesy. The prophecy was scanty because there's no Bible. Then the utterance, it was scanty. He couldn't even fake it well. At least it was a laughing stock. How come those priests of Ogbanje entered the body of Christ unchecked? Unchecked, it means the borders are porous. We are bereaved of guidance. All kinds of things. The other day, they gave me a phone call. They say one traditional ruler has gone to import one spirit. And the package that they will use to install the altar, it was in a trailer. In fact, as they installed it and erected it, the debtor, I think 14 people died, just when they finally raised it, it sucked, it took blood from 14 people. What happened? It means in that territory there's no guidance. For them to bring that heavy duty material, and nobody lost his sleep in the night. Nobody saw any vision. There was nobody in that room until it physically happened. It means another testament has been established there. Our lands are porous. Altars to the Queen of Heaven, the spirits of the lake, the darkness on the mountaintop have been placed as objects of influence and civilization within our borders. The reason why it is possible is because we lack guidance within our borders and our territory. And if the church of our day is going to grow to have capacity to redeem lands conceded to the enemy, then the culture of guidance must be part and parcel of our disciples. Adam's first failure was as a guardian. He could not stand between the border of eternity and time and check the transactions and the influxes until that outlaw gained access into his landscape. Thereafter, it was very easy for him to be manipulated out. He did not keep the guard. That's number one. Number two is the custodian. These ones are in short supply, even worldwide now. The custodian. Turn with me quickly. Oh, it seems my time is up. I still have some more time. I don't want to violate the authority. Luke chapter 2. Are you there in Luke chapter 2? The custodian. In short supply. Short supply. We mourn the absence of priority. We mourn him. Men that God gives the blueprints of the capacity, the potentials of a territory, and the labor of priesthood that is required to unlock that potential. Men that have the capacity to see into the spirit of recreated beings and know what they will become in the days to come. Men that could read the book of nations. Hallelujah. There's somewhere in Benue State that Fayetim came. Because he gave them a date for an event, a prophetic event, the date of the meeting, he gave them. And then one of the brethren became a commissioner, which is supposed to make the thing easier. Instead of making it easier, the commissioner man now changed the date. And before, obviously, before that date, the commissioner man fixed all things. Pioting was dead. Meanwhile, Pioting came at the date that he set, only for him to find out that there was no event. So he removed his shoe and he stood on the land. And when he stood barefooted, he began to prophesy about the land. The prophetic charter that has given the coordinates for the recovery plan that we are using now in our own prayer endeavor in that land was the utterances that came from Elton. I don't have time to talk. What did he do? He removed his sandal and he stepped on the ground and he linked. He began to reveal the purpose of the territory and the strategy. That was when we discovered that in that particular territory, any ministry you are doing that is not intercessory in nature is outside of the shape of the body of Christ in that region. In that region, what can only survive is a warrior church And that's what God wants to raise from that region. And that should affect ministry in all its manifestations and forms. But not every ministry followed that model. And obviously, most of those ministries are totally incapacitated in addressing the issues of the land. What he did was to remove his sandal and stand on the ground. And he started giving utterances about the territory, about the cities. He won't mention the city that was most difficult to take. He actually revealed the step-by-step strategy for the takeover. He's reading from a book. And God has books in heaven about nations, about territories. Those utterances were not... No, he was quoting from a book in heaven. And only a few men have that capacity. And it takes a lot of ranking spiritually to be able to operate on that wavelength. We groan in anguish. We groan because of the absence of such an anointing in the land. When I read the Chronicles of Babalola, I found out that he also entered into the realm of custodianship. That some obas will invite him to sleep over in their village so that he can pick the template for the pages. That kind of a man will be relevant to Hindu, Muslim, and what a kanka are like. I hope you know Graham Bunker's Crusades is multi-religious. It's multi. This one, they said, yes. We can identify with this one. It's multi-religious. It has gone beyond a Christian. It's multi-religious. Ogboni people come there. You see, yeah, at least we can identify with this one. It's multi-religious. It's multi-religious. There are dimensions of the prophetic. Huh? You may not know, in the Middle East, most of these chief men like Benny Hinn get invited by the sheikhs. Most of them are born again. Because they understand the supernatural. Nothing can quieten it. Nothing can kill it. Let's do some scriptures. Luke chapter 2, before I sit down. Because I want us to pray, if possible. I will stop 30 minutes before my time is up. Let's pray for 30 minutes on this matter. Let's pray for 30 minutes. I was privileged to be, I don't know who sent it, 6 messages of Pa'el. In the 80s, that man had prophesied the procedure for actualizing the apostolic revival. Jesus, the church backslid. The people that were supposed to carry from him, they failed the body of Christ. The people that sat around him, heard from him, because some of the ministries I'm seeing today, those are the people that met him, were blessed by him. This thing, this octopus they are building, is very, very different from the spirit that man carried. Paelting was impeccable in doctrine. He was impeccable in doctrine. He was impeccable in the use of the Bible. Where did this message that we are preaching, where did it come from? He was a preacher of the kingdom, and he was very creative in his exposition. An enemy has done this. This is the work of an enemy. This is an enemy's work. If we have that kind of heritage, we don't have any business being where we are. We despise the fountain of living waters and have hewn for ourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I heard Pa Elting's tape when he spoke about deliverance. Jesus. I said, so we have this thing in our archives. What is this deliverance thing that is moving around like this now? You know what an error does? An error will never lead you to Jesus. That's what it does. It will put you on a path. A path. A straying path. And it doesn't matter who does it in the body of Christ. The effect is the same. And if God will have to restore, He will have to raise people that don't have that orientation. And sometimes He might make a pastor suffer for a season so that he can be insulated from some terrible things before He raises you up. You know, there are seasons in the life of a voice. Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2 from verse 21, sister, has your mind been restored? From verse 21.
Okay. And when 8 days were accomplished,
yeah,
for the circumcising of the child,
okay,
his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Okay.
And when the days of our purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord.
Oh, yes.
As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. 25. And behold, there
why
was a man.
Why the normal ceremony? The normal ceremony that should happen customarily according to the law of Moses. Why that ceremony was going on? Another ceremony began. That ceremony was not captured in the law. There were two ceremonies that were taking place in one place. The ceremony according to the custom of the law, according to the law of Moses. That one was going on. And then another ceremony. This was a mystical ceremony. The people were not invited for the ritual in the temple. Okay. Let us hear the story. Go on.
25. And behold.
Behold.
There was a man in Jerusalem.
A man in Jerusalem.
Whose name was Simeon.
Whose name was Simeon.
And the same man was just and devout.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for the consolation of Israel.
Waiting for the consolation of Israel.
And the Holy Ghost was upon him.
The Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ. He did not come into the temple by invitation. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom, they were supposed to hand him over to the priest. But instead of the priest to receive him, it was Simeon that picked him up. It means that the thing that took place in the temple was not consistent with the prescription. A man that was not invited for the ceremony, nobody knew he existed. He was in the woods, but he was led by the Holy Ghost. And he came into the temple. Now, custodians don't need to be in public sight, in the public arena to be effective. There are men that God needs to come and take permission from in order for him to do something. Just like Abraham was. And God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I want to do? Seeing that he shall become a great nation, and he shall command his children to follow me. So God is compelled to inform a custodian of his plans, just like God was compelled to inform Simeon. Simeon prayed to die. The spirit of death, when he sees him, he runs. He begged for death. Death will always run away from a custodian until the time has come for him to unravel the things for which God has raised him to keep a secret. And the guy came into the temple. Instead of the priest to pick the child and then do the normal ritual, It was him that picked Jesus. Imagine, the first comment was, allow me die now. It's as if the man was stricken in years and he begged to die. He looked for death, but he carried the lamp of fire on his head, such that he was exempted from death as long as that lamp was burning. Death will look at him and he said, no. Latest thy servant to die in peace according to your word. Not your word that is written, but your word that you spoke into my hearing. For my eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. It was in that prophetic session that he looked at Mary and said to her, a sword shall pierce your heart, so that the thoughts of many might be revealed. The child he was holding now, he now began to speak about him. He said, this child is for the rise and the fall. These are things that were revealed to him, for which he kept custody. For the first time, he was making it vocal. For this child is for the rise and fall of many in Israel. It shall be for a sign that many will speak against. He'll be like a man against the tide. He'll be an object of persecution. It shall be a sign from heaven that many will speak against. Let me die, for my eyes have seen. The trouble, there were many custodians that were not given the privilege to see the things that they were given to keep. This was one of the few ones whose eyes saw. For many years he waited, checked the calendar, checked the sky, waiting for the consolation, the fulfillment of that which God has told. Where are the custodians? People have kept the secret of the unfolding of the civilization. Give me Psalm 74 verse 9. Then we are going to pray for 30 minutes. These are strong matters. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. That's what happens when there's no custody. The naked land. So much talking, but nobody saying anything. The issues that pertain to our destiny as a corporate persona is not on anybody's lips. Land largely lacks direction. People do not know where to turn. When there is no custodian, that's what happens. Let us now, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared before the face of all people. That was how John was. John the beloved. He was a custodian. Every other apostle died as a martyr. But John was the only one that died a natural death. The lamp of the custodian burned upon him. Death will have to turn backwards. We need men that can bring us into the perspective of how the mystical realm intends to implement her plan. A people under a God that has knowledge of the future and the past and the present should not be kept in darkness. Custodians, they are like a torchlight, a navigatory light for generations. They hold a secret of several things that God intends to do upon the face of the earth. They have an eye of wisdom. An eye of wisdom. To understand even the details of the fulfillment of the plans of God. Because of the superlative kind of existence that they have been brought into, their prayers are instruments of government over territories. Hallelujah. They have great powers before the throne of God. Their relevance is more in heaven than on earth. Just like John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos that had to be called to heaven, and he was a representative from the earth realm to fill the quorum in order for several proceedings in the court of heaven to commence. He was a witness. One that had to be there. A prophet from the earth that had to be present when the books were opened. There must be a man that will peep upon it. Hear his content. And hold his secrets in view. And also bring perspective and warning to the people of God. In light of the secrets that he has seen. So that the church can come out of his quagmire. And align with his majesty. And reflect Christ in every territory. Such men are taken to the depths of heaven. They have capacity to peep into things by reason of the privileges of mercy. Things that are lawful for humans to utter. A man must know it. For them, death is terrified because of such men. They have the covenant of life. Custodians raise the dead easily because the covenant they have is a preservative against death. Powers of the kingdom, powers of heaven are for them. We want to pray, It seems the ranks are lacking territorial men. Now listen to me. I was in the city of Kaduna. And when I was there, I was praying and God opened my eyes and I saw four thrones in Kaduna. And the four thrones I saw in Kaduna, only one was occupied. Three were vacant. I was praying to receive a message to go and preach in a conference. And then I had this vision. Four thrones over the city, only one was occupied. Then God began to explain to me the reason why this was happening. Then there were bombings, all kinds of stuff taking place in the city. And it was as if the church was helpless about what was happening. We were outnumbered. Not numbered in form of demographics and statistics. Numbered, outnumbered in form of functional thrones that were supposed to bring perspective to the territory. We're going to pray. Meanwhile, this was the message I wanted to preach in your first convergence. And God said, you don't preach because you have revelation. Keep it. It took 2 years. I mean, 2 years. And then I was down looking for a message to preach this time. He said, you know that one you wanted to go and preach illegally that time? Hallelujah. You know, John saw the revelation of Jesus, the full revelation of Jesus. But when he was speaking to the churches, he did not give every church the full revelation. He just gave them the revelation of Jesus that was peculiar to their need. Revelation is according to need, not according to knowledge. When God coronated me as a revealer of secrets, that's what he told me. He said revelation is according to need, not according to the knowledge. Because there are some dimensions of knowledge that you will see that is not lawful for men to utter. We are going to pray. This time, I will suggest that you pray on your seat. Because this prayer point is, this session is solemn. So I will suggest even the prayer too. Pray on your seat. Because if we pray the way we prayed before, it will not be the response to this message. You know what? Nigeria is empty. Our thrones are vacant. We have, listen. We have campsites in the natural. But you see, the real business happens in places in heaven. Places in heaven. That's where the real business is. And we have few people that are summoned, that get summoned to those places when important things are happening. It's just like you don't have a House of Rep member in your own constituency. There is no likelihood of you, the issues in your village, to be presented to the House. I hope you know it was a day that the sons of God came to appear before the Lord. And even that particular day, Satan was summoned, but Job was not in the meeting. Job was not present. It's just like, that's what happened. It's a void. Hallelujah. Doctor, you can come up. I have 30 minutes, so you can push us for 30 minutes. It's a sober moment. He will push us for 30 minutes so that we can pray the right prayers and leave this place with the right body. We'll continue the teaching, if the Lord permits, in the next segment.
Shall we begin to cry unto the Lord? Shall we begin to cry unto the Lord? The burden of a generation has come upon us, and we cannot afford to fail. For some of us, we need to make corrections right now. For some of us, we need to make changes in our lives. O God, among the nations, the administrator of the council of the Holy One, may empoke talihi talabozantai. Some of us need to personally attend to the issue of consecration. We need to attend to the issue of consecration for the office that God will have us functioning. I beg of you to pray. Anna needed a child. God needed a prophet to the nation.
And it was until the need of Hannah came in alignment with the purpose of God for the nation. That was when there was a response from heaven. Someone needs to submit your will to the counsel of God for your generation. Someone needs to drop ambitions. Someone needs to empty himself in this place. It's an encounter between you and God at this moment. Someone needs to empty himself in this place. Le enemo tule katalibano netos zake le usanto frotele ketolabas izo ela ikatolamosha. Before Baba will continue to anoint men in this place, we need to get our vessels ready. We need to get our lives right. And that's what this moment is all about. Can we go ahead and submit ourselves to the eternal purpose of God? Can you respond to that demand of God upon your life? Can you give an answer back to heaven concerning that need and the territories that He has given you? Can you respond to Him at this time? This is a personal response to Him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see, when thrones are empty, there are procedures that take place before the vacant stool will be filled. One of the procedures that takes place, the end point of that procedure is what you call coronation. Before coronation will happen, a lot of consecrations would have taken place. When those consecration is not accomplished upon a prince, if that prince sits upon the throne, the prince will die. This kingdom, before you mount the stool and you are introduced to the throne that you are meant to occupy, certain consecration for the throne you are going to occupy has to take place. Hallelujah. Now, this prayer is a personal prayer. You will go to God and settle personal issues of consecration so that a vessel that is made ready to occupy the thrones that God has ordained for you will be presented to God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I need us to go back to God and make those requests, so those demands for personal consecration, so that the grace of God will avail much upon us to be able to function on the thrones that God has ordained us for. Can we go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus? Some of us need to shed weight. We need to shed weight. Some of us need to make covenants and commitments for us to be able to carry the weight of glory that will be coming upon us by the ordination of grace.
Find a man in us who qualify us by the ordination of your grace, that we may walk the path of life and our footprints will drop oil and butter, that the next generation may be blessed that we came, that we may fulfill your counsels in the path that you have given to us. Help us, Father.
In Jesus' name we pray. Can we be on our feet?
At this moment, the coronation process is about to begin. And my responsibility is not to mediate in that process. At this moment, Baba himself wants to confirm what he has made men for. The administrator of the offices of God wants to administer his purpose upon his body. Now, you will turn to him and show to him that you are ready. You will turn to him and cry to him and tell him that you are ready. Then after that, things will begin to happen in this earth. After that, we begin to see interventions of grace. We begin to see the consecration and the anointing. We begin to see coronation in this place. I need you to talk to him in prayers right now that you are ready.
Namo Satan.
imakeli animote. Seina inoku taigali namato. Isina monene. Kaila motuta eneno tole ka inte sutale namata. Saika inemotu lehanti lamos. Let the youngest arise. Men with the wisdom of the ancient. Amatole katalabosa. Men that know how to tread the path of the giants. Men with uncommon insight into divine purpose. Men that are skilled and tutored of the Holy Ghost to administer the counsel of God. Ine akolebosa. Ma ene huse takalamote. Sa aprolebosa. Men like Gideon, who are specialists in breaking down the altars of Baal. Ele etolamasa. Mateka ilamosa. Men with territorial mantles that recognize territorial events through the operation of their priesthood. Hey! Inatale katalabosa talarenamosa. Akelanemos talanemos. Akametele hito lamasakata. Eletele vosakata. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at thy right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool. We ask that giants arise. I see crown finding somebody. I see crown. I see the administration of a crown upon a life here.
Jesus' name we pray.
We need to quickly address some issues before we continue praying. I see someone's wall being broken down and a new wall being raised beyond the territories of where it was before. There are diverse administrations in this place that is going on. But we need to be conscious of what is the desire in the heart of God. The desire in the heart of God is not to raise a kind of the old.
the desire in the heart of God is for accurate representation. And God is administering His Spirit to that effect. So our desire and hunger must be in alignment
with what God is doing. Hallelujah.
Now, I need us to pray that
from Maiduguri to Lagos, from Sokoto to Port Harcourt, from Kogi to Calabar, that the Spirit of the Lord will move across this nation and raise enclaves of men that will speak for Him. That the Spirit of God will move like a wild wind across the four walls of this nation, Nigeria, and start a movement, and start ignite a fire, and raise enclaves of men for Him. Can we express that desire to Him this evening? We intercede and we declare. Let there be a breaking forth by whom I hear. Let there be a breaking. Let there be a breaking forth. In akala ino sutela mata. Ake ino sutela manama. Let there be a breaking forth in Lokoja. Ayale mona tema katalabosha. Elehu sata. Men that you've anointed for those territories, we command the territories to open up to them. We command the territories to open up to them. Amala tolebosha. We command the territories to open up to them. Ekaila lotabosha kata. Men that you've ordained for territories to take over the corridor of power. We command the territories to open. Zaria open. Zaria open. Lokta open. Kano open. Inekala nemosata. Erane hebosa. Yope open. Inekala nemos. Ikole open. Inekala manamosa. We open up Saki. We open up Ogbomosho. Let giants rise. Let giants rise.